Good morning, Parkman. We are in the season of Eastertide, a time when we purposely look back to the resurrection, a time when we purposely focus on what Christ has done for each and every one of us. Eastertide is that time from Easter Sunday until Pentecost Sunday. It is a 50-day period of waiting. Waiting, it's what the disciples did from the time Christ rose until he was brought up into heaven. It was the time that they waited until he was up in heaven, and all of a sudden the Spirit came down on them at Pentecost. So if you have your Bibles with you today, and I hope you do, would you please open them with me to the Gospel of Luke? We're going to be looking this morning at Luke's initial account of the resurrection, which can be found in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. 24, sorry. 24. My bad. I said something. This is why you need to hold me accountable. What if I say something wrong? I don't say something wrong. I'm always just, it's weird up here. But this can be found on pages 1642 through 1644 of your pew Bibles. That's Luke chapter 24. There it is. Verses 13 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and said, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when they broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord. That's a lot of scripture right there. It's awesome. It's awesome because Jesus is alive. We're almost at Pentecost, halfway through the Easter season, that season known as Eastertide. And whether you like it or not, whether you accept the fact or not, Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I say this because, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, 46% of professing Christians in America believe that Jesus literally rose from the dead. 46%. That means 54% of professing Christians in America believe Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That means 54% of Christians in America don't believe the thing that makes Christianity, Christianity. That's a surprising number. That means that statistically, a little more than half of you here right now don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. And can you blame them? I mean, we're looking at the different responses to the followers of Christ just days after he had died and rose again on the cross. First, we looked at the total disbelief which the leaders of the law had. Their belief was so, their disbelief was so strong that they started to pay off guards to keep their story going. Then we looked at the surprise that the women had upon learning Jesus had risen from the dead. Surprise, I'm back. This week, we're going to look at one of the most well-known post-resurrection accounts, the Emmaus Road account. This takes place on the day the women had gone to the tomb and found it empty. This takes place on that same day when they had seen Jesus alive, and it was Easter Sunday. Most scholars said that it was about 4 p.m. It's a good time of day to be walking. And we know that the women had already told the disciples what had happened. Yet for some reason, we find these two guys leaving. We find them walking toward a village called Emmaus. These disciples had been told what had happened, and for some reason, they decide to go away anyway. Did they believe that Jesus had risen from the dead? Probably not. Because here they are, they're walking. We see them leaving Jerusalem, going 7 miles away to another town, and all of a sudden, Jesus catches up to him. That's how he does it for so many of us as well. And I think this is interesting. Think about it. Jesus catches up to his disciples. If they had truly been Jesus' disciples, don't you think they would have recognized them? Recognized him. I was in Cincinnati a week and a half ago with Frank. We were at a church leaders conference. And while I was in town, I saw this woman I knew from back in high school. I didn't remember her name, but I remembered her face, and it's almost been 20 years. And that Friday night, Frank and I met up with my stepbrother, and I had not seen him in a while, and we both look a whole lot different than we did back in high school. But I recognized him. There wasn't a doubt, and he's like, a whole lot different. I know, I'm 60 pounds different than when I was in high school. But there wasn't a doubt about who he was. And while I was waiting for him outside of the restaurant, all of a sudden I saw a guy. I'm in downtown Cincinnati, 40 miles from where I lived. And all of a sudden I see this guy walking towards the restaurant. And I was like, dude, I know you. And he was like, yes, Will, how are you doing? People I hadn't seen in years. And I recognized them. I bet many of you have had these same experiences, walking through malls, walking through airports, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, I know that person. Or you meet up with someone you hadn't seen since high school. Maybe it was your best friend, and bam, things are like the good old days. It's like time has not passed. You are hugging, you're reminiscing about the good old days. But here we see these two disciples, these two guys who had just been with Jesus a few days before, these two disciples who had listened to him tell his story. They'd witnessed him die on a cross, and for some reason, they don't recognize him. And I think this is a problem that we have with many of our churches and with many of the people in the church. We know a lot about Jesus. We read the Bible. We know the Bible inside and out, and many of us, I know I can't, but Karen in her church, they had these Bible quizzes, and they had these things, and you might know about this too, or like sword drills. Have you ever heard of a sword drill? I don't know what a sword drill is. They had to tell me. Anyone here know what a sword drill is? Okay, sword drill, this is what happens. All of a sudden, I get up and I say Luke 24, verses 13 through 35, and the first person to stand up with it open wins. I couldn't do that. We know our Bibles. We know them real well. But for some reason, we've found a way not to see Jesus in our midst. We find ourselves so much like these two disciples. And the scriptures say about these two disciples, it says that they were kept from recognizing him. We're so much like all the disciples just after the resurrection, because we have to remember, God does the work. God opens our eyes, and there are a lot of people who say that they are followers of Christ, but they just don't seem to get it, just like these disciples here. They're heading towards Emmaus. They're having a discussion of what had happened, and I already have to stop because the word discussion here means more than a discussion. The word used for discussion actually means disputatious. Anyone know what that means? We've been talking about it in Sunday school. It means to dispute what had happened. I like that word. It should be a word we all use. You're being disputatious. These men had heard what the woman had said that morning. They knew that the tomb was open. They knew the woman had said that they talked with Jesus, but somehow they just didn't believe them. They didn't believe them because they couldn't believe them. They didn't believe them because even though they knew what Jesus had taught, Jesus had not opened their eyes yet. Jesus had kept them from recognizing him. And here he was, walking alongside them. They would comprise the 54% of believers who don't believe that Jesus rose again from the grave, even though they had witnessed Jesus themselves healing the sick, feeding the hungry, raising the dead, doing all the miracles that he had performed. And even though they had heard Jesus said that in 3 days he would again rise from the grave, they didn't believe him, and they didn't recognize him. And what's really important here is they were kept from recognizing him. These two were disciples. They should have known it was Jesus. They should have recognized him. But we also have to ask the question, shouldn't the teachers of the law have recognized Jesus as well? They knew the scriptures inside and out. They knew what the prophecies had said about Christ. And for some reason, they didn't get it. They just didn't get it because they were kept from knowing. They were kept from seeing Jesus. For some reason, God had decided not to open their eyes at that time. And that sounds harsh. But even though it sounds harsh, we have to understand this point. This is why you can know your Bibles really well. This is why you can be a top scholar in the Bible and still not know Jesus. You might think you know him, but unless he opens your eyes, you can't know him. And you're just like the disciples here, which isn't a bad thing, because if we're like a disciple, awesome. Because Jesus walks up alongside us doing exactly what he's doing to the disciples here. He walks up alongside us and pokes and prods at our hearts. And I'm going to will a phrase here because that's a whole large chunk of scripture. You all understand what a will a phrase is? It's like a paraphrase, but I'm going to do it. There will be a few verses I do point out. But Jesus catches up to him and says, "Hey guys, what's going on? What are you all talking about?" Right there, they should have recognized his voice. I haven't seen my mom in a long time, but her voice, it was the voice of comfort, but also the voice of reprimand growing up. I could pick her voice out in a crowd anywhere, and these guys don't even flinch. Here is Jesus right next to him talking to them and nothing. How many of us are like that? We turn and say, "Don't you know what has happened? Don't you know Christ?" Or more importantly, "Don't you know that he is risen?" So these guys look at him and they're like, "You don't know what's happened in the past couple days? Haven't you been in Jerusalem? Are you just a visitor? We thought we found the Messiah. We thought we found the Savior." So they continue, "Well, we were with Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet. He was a man before God. But the rulers of the law decided they didn't like that. They decided they wanted him dead. They crucified him. They killed him. And it's the third day and some women are coming to us and saying that he's risen. And they even say they saw an angel. Even some of our friends ran to the tomb and said they saw him. We thought he was the Messiah." Don't you understand? This is what's great about Jesus coming up. Jesus can come up to us any day and walk alongside of us, and we think we know Jesus. And we can tell Jesus everything. But we don't recognize him. This is what's so funny about this section of Scripture. We thought he was the one. And verse 24 is great. It ends with, "But they did not see him." Don't you see the irony here? The disciples and the women who went to the tomb, they did not see Jesus here. And these two guys who were walking next to Christ don't see Jesus here. They were looking right at him, but they don't see him. How many people who we interact with on a daily basis have never seen Jesus? And we have to remember, when Christ opens our eyes, we become a part of the body of Christ. We have died to the old self and we have put on the new. We are to be Jesus to those who are around us. That's hard. And how many around us have never seen Jesus because we're not doing what we're called to do? How many say it is hard to see Jesus in the church? Have you ever heard someone say it's hard to see Christ in the church? Gandhi said, "I love your Jesus. I don't like his followers that much." And in the church, so many of his followers are supposedly meeting on a weekly basis. The church should be one of the safest places in the world to go. It should be a place where people feel free to come in and bear their burdens, express their sorrows, talk about their pain, knowing that everyone else in the church is supposed to be like Christ and be there for him and pray for him. But instead, we tend to congregate with people who are just like us. We get dressed up and go to a sanctuary that oftentimes does not have Christ there. We come acting like our lives are perfect when we know deep down inside that our lives are a mess. And we tend to think that we are better than those around us because we say we found Jesus. We didn't find Jesus. Jesus opened our eyes, and if you found Jesus, you might have found something that isn't your Savior. You might be mistaking who Jesus really is, which is exactly what the disciples have done here in the Scripture when they've run into Jesus and Christ, with only a love, but also a frustration that he could bring about. Looks at these two and says, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what the Scriptures had said concerning himself. These disciples had been with Christ. They heard him speak. They'd given up everything to follow Jesus. And now they were complaining in disbelief about what had happened because they had such little faith. And Jesus schools them. "How foolish you are." This is a question we need to ask ourselves, especially when we think we're following Christ, but when there's such little evidence to that fact. It is a question that should cause us to humble ourselves before the Lord our God. A question that should cause us to fall on our knees before God on a daily basis, begging him to open our eyes to his will so that we can follow God with everything we have. "How foolish you are. Didn't you learn anything that he said to you or from what the prophets had said?" And so Jesus talks to them once more and explains it to them, which causes them to think a little bit more. And as they got closer to Emmaus, they talked with Jesus even more, and they learned that he was going to go further because Jesus allowed them to assume that. And so they looked at him and said, "Stay with us. Come with us. Have dinner with us." And Jesus took the bread and broke it. We're going to be experiencing communion here in a few moments. And what we need to do is remember that Christ is constantly opening our eyes. The more we turn to the Bible, the more we pray with one another, the more Christ opens our eyes. And Jesus here breaks the bread and he gives it to him. And all of a sudden, they understood. They knew it was him. And he disappeared. I find that humorous, that he disappeared after he opened their eyes. But he's going to open our eyes if we are his. One of the problems we have in the church is we've decided that we have this thing where we love to say, "I've decided to follow Christ. Decided to follow Christ." But our lives don't change. Christ calls us to change. Christ tells us we are supposed to be more like him. We're supposed to follow him. And he actually gives us a really simple thing to follow. And we don't like the idea of follow, but we are called to something more after he opens our eyes. Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. And it's hard to love one another. People annoy us. Just ask my wife. I get annoyed all the time. She used to ask me, how can you be a therapist? God, it's not me. And when I get annoyed, I have to pray. When I get annoyed, I have to run to the Bible. When I get annoyed, I have to do something about it. I have to seek Jesus. One of the biggest things, I've talked about this before, one of the biggest things that bug me, someone who doesn't drive well, you cut me off. I need to run and pray, and I have a mantra, it's a scripture, it's, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. It's the only scripture that will calm me down when I'm in one of those moods. Because it focuses my attention on God. And if we're focused on God, our lives start to change. We're never going to be perfect. There will still be people who annoy me, just like there will be people who annoy all of you. But we're called to love one another. And if we can't do that one thing, we need to question where we're at. We need to question where we're at, because for some reason, and we're going through this great Sunday school class right now, and it just ended. But we have another one starting next week. Don't miss that. It's going to be even better. But we've lost this desire to do what we're called to do. The early church didn't have the Bible. What did they have? They had Jesus. They had the scriptures that were passed down. They came together and gave everything to everyone so no one was in need, and then they went out. And for some reason, we created these buildings, and we call them churches. I was talking with Sherry yesterday about this, and I'm going to wind down quick. But we created these churches. The word church in the scripture, do you know when we found that word? Or it wasn't in the original text. The original text said gathering of people, congregation of people, not building. The word church is actually a German word, and I love Germany, except we did ruin this one. Because all of a sudden now we think this is where God does the work. And what's that last part of this section of scripture that we're looking at? Do you know what they did when Christ finally opened their eyes? They ran back. They ran back, found the rest of the disciples, and they told him the good news that Jesus was alive. This is what we're called to do. And sometimes we have a hard time because our eyes just aren't open yet. Sometimes we have a hard time because we're not running to the Bible. And as we, someone was talking to me and they had me on fire this morning because wrong interpretation of scripture. But they said, you know, our faith is never the same 10 years from now. And that's the truth. Our faith shouldn't be the same 10 years from now. The more we get to know God, the more we read the Bible, the more we grow, the more God, not we, the more God grows us into the people who He wants us to be, which sends us out running, just like these disciples. Sends us out running to find people and let them know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that He's alive, that He's here for us.